Thank you, Jill. Said as we began this study on temptations, and this is another area today, that God has given us emotions that are legitimate. And I think anger is a legitimate emotion that God has given to us. There's verses in the Bible that says, be angry and sin not. If you've been in church for a period of time, you probably say, well, there is righteous indignation. And you're correct. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about anger that is out of control. You find yourself yelling and hitting things or hitting people or saying things that you later regret that you ever said, losing control, flying off the handle, driving out of control. We see the news of people who go back into places of employment and shoot and kill people because of their anger, and they just lose it. You say, but you don't know what somebody said to me or how they treated me or what I've had to deal with. And you're right, I probably don't. But in James chapter 1, he's writing to a group of people, and if anybody seemingly would have justification to be angry, it would be these Jewish people that he's writing to. They had come to Jerusalem to worship at Passover. They had received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They stayed there to grow in their faith. And in the midst of that, persecution broke out. People who didn't like the fact that they were Christians now threatened them, beat them, imprisoned them, and some of them even were killed. And so to escape the threat of violence, they fled all throughout the Roman Empire. And so James writes to these 12 tribes that are scattered abroad in the world. And in chapter 1 he says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. And so in the first part of this letter, in this first part of this chapter, we've talked about how do you deal with troubles. And then the second major theme that James deals with in this first chapter, and we talked about for a few weeks, is how do you deal with temptations? And so we talked about that, even about worry, in our last message 2 weeks ago. But today I want to talk about anger. And don't let your anger put you in danger, would be my theme today. And so I began thinking, you know, what is it that makes people angry? And so I Googled it. What makes people angry? Now, there's a bunch of lists of that, but this is just one that I came across. And I think it had like 50 things. I'm not going to take time to read all 50, but I do want to read 10 to you. 10 of those things that make people angry. Being blamed for something I didn't do. If you're a kid, that was always a constant thing. I didn't do it. And sometimes you didn't, and sometimes you did. But if you got blamed for something that you didn't do, it made you upset. And you don't have to be a kid to have that. People who take credit for the work that you did. Maybe you face that in your place of employment. Bad drivers make people mad. Liars make people mad. Slow loading screens make people mad. That might be on a cell phone or iPad, or it might be on your desktop or your laptop or whatever, but you just get impatient. Why is it taking so long? The sixth one, Donald Trump is 45th president, was what was written. Number seven, abusive parents. Number eight, noisy people. So I've already given away that Jill wrote this list this morning. She really didn't. Number nine, screaming children. And number 10, I can't even read what I wrote. People who talk during movies. What is it that makes you mad? And as I read these things, I'm thinking, you know, this is more the fruit than the root. And so I tried to think in my life, what are things that make me angry, or I know make people angry, and try to just give a list of those. When I was young, I used to have a terrible temper. And I don't have a big anger problem. That doesn't mean that I never have to deal with the issue. I'm grateful for that. I think one of the qualifications of a pastor is he doesn't need to get angry all the time. That can be very hazardous to his job and to the congregation. But when I was young, before I was a pastor, that wasn't always the case. I mean, I've hit my head on the floor trying to get my way and banged the walls and kicked the radiator in and broke the front door. And my mom used to spank me. I used to get in fights all the time. And they were dumb fights. I mean, fights with guys that were bigger and meaner than me. I would just take them on. They would bully me or say something to me, and I'd just get in a fight, and they'd beat the tar out of me. And then I'd go home and tell mom, and she would give me that Christian advice. Well, you shouldn't start fights. And that's all that would come out of it, and that didn't help any. Here's some things that I wrote down from my own list that I think make people angry and at times make me angry, and that's people's incompetence. You know, the people that sit at the green light on their phone. That can be an issue sometimes. Going through a drive-thru and talk to the baker and like, what? You know, I cannot understand what you're saying. Or you get your order and then it's not correct. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. It seems to be happening more and more today. And sometimes people's incompetence. I was at getting some tires several years ago, and the lady behind the counter was as nice as could be and even more incompetent. I mean, I bought a set of tires and I was going to, they had like a deal that you could no credit for 6 months. I said, yeah, sign me up for that. And I didn't have any cash with me, and that was the reason I went to that particular location, and they said I didn't qualify. And I'm thinking, it's $400. I know I qualify for that. And you know, it was a 20-minute episode. And I said, well, why don't I qualify? I can't tell you. You got to call them. So anyway, she had put down that my house payment was $22,000 a month. So therefore, I didn't qualify for the I said, ma'am, I understand why I don't qualify now, but my house, you know, I mean, I like my house, but it's not a $22,000 a month house that I live in that I make payments on. And so she corrected that, as they believe. But people's incompetence. You know, you've got this new boss, and he thinks he knows everything. And you've been working there for, you know, 20 years, and you know how things, and he's got these new regulations and these new things that's going to make things run smoother. And all it does is just mess stuff up. And you get angry at that. I heard about two guys, and one said to the other, he was very angry at what happened at work the day before, and he said, when I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And his friend said, please don't do that. You don't have a lot to give away. And so sometimes we got to think about that and how we respond to things. I think people get mad when they're not in control. They want things done a certain way. And if it's not done their way, they just flip out and they just lose it. Now, some of you are going to face that this week. Somebody's going to call you this week, and you can remember I talked about it. And they're going to say, you know, we're not going to be able to come this year to the Christmas gathering with the family. What's wrong? Well, we're going to her house this year. What do you mean you're going? Every year you've been here. That's our tradition. That's what we do. And we always eat this certain food. And I can't believe you're not putting that ornament up. And the kid broke. And you, like, really? It's not that big a deal. But sometimes if we're not in control, we lose it. If things not done our way, if somebody has a different opinion, a different thought. I think another thing that upsets people is injustice. When we see things that are evidently done wrong or people treated badly, we see protests on the news all the time of, you know, no justice, no peace. We see that sign multitudes of times, and people march and are upset when injustice is done. You may have been in a grocery store and see a kid acting up and a parent just go off on the kid. And you realize, you know, that's child endangerment or whatever the term is there. I think when we get hurt or offended, we get angry. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that to me. And our natural tendency in the flesh is to respond in kind and in a revengeful spirit toward that other person to get even with them. You say, well, I'm not going to let them off the hook. But we don't realize that we're on the hook with them. And letting them off the hook might be letting us off the hook and free us not to be consumed with the anger. And as I talk a little bit later, the root of bitterness that can destroy our soul. I think sometimes we get angry when we're stressed out, or we're really hungry, or we're really tired. Do you find yourself being impatient during those times? Honey, how was work today? What do you mean, how was work today? Look at this house! You know, whoa! You know, take a nap, eat something, rest a little bit. I heard about a couple that was married about 40 years, and somebody was asking them about their longevity of their marriage. And he said, well, we learned early on that whenever we got mad at each other, I would just go outside and walk around the block and cool down and come back. And he said, what do you attribute your long marriage to? He said, my love of the outdoors. Sometimes that's true. When we're frustrated or when we fail, sometimes that brings on anger. You know, we just can't get that appliance to work correctly, or we don't make the grade on that test, or we're not accepted at that college, or something else just seems to go wrong and we seem like we have failed at something, or we're frustrated that things won't work out and we just lose it. I think sometimes when we're afraid or grieving, again, our fuse can be short and our words can be very abrupt and we can't take things very well because of the emotional state that we're in. Now, there may be other things you can add to the list. Those are things that I just thought of. And I think it's important, if we have anger issues, to try to understand what is causing our anger. Well, it's that driver. Well, maybe it's, we need to be more patient with other people's incompetence. People driving badly and cutting me off in traffic and sitting, that usually doesn't bother me a whole lot at all. It really doesn't. And I think one of the reasons is I'm thinking, you know, I do that sometimes. I do some of the things they're doing, and I'm just pretty patient with it. Now, there's other things that might tick me off from time to time, but we need to stop and think, well, why am I thinking like that? Why am I acting like that? What's causing that? Is my anger justified? And many times we want to think it is. Or is it out of control? Have I just lost it? James says this in verse 18 and 19 as he writes to these believers. He's talked about troubles. He's talked about temptation. And now he's talking about anger. These are his words of advice, commands from the Lord. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What do I do sometimes? I'm quick to speak and slow to listen. That's an issue that I'm thinking about more and more in the last few years. You ever get into a discussion with somebody and there's a difference of opinion or there's offense, and before they finish talking, you've already got an answer for it? You even cut them off before they finish. Or you find out their volume level is getting high, so your volume level is getting high, which makes their volume level gets a little bit higher, which makes your volume level gets a little bit higher. And so James's advice, and something that I'm trying to heed in my life, is just listen. Be quick to listen. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, I remember that verse that said, God give us two ears and one mouth. There's not a verse like that, okay? I know we hear that all the time. But I do think it has some truth to it. We need to listen. But yet all of us want to be so defensive to get our point across that we don't really stop and listen to what somebody is saying. You see, there may be some truth in what somebody is saying to us packed among some things that are not true, and so we just dismiss it all. We throw the baby out with the bathwater, and we don't listen to some things that we might need to hear. Some changes that we might need to make. So be slow to speak and quick to hear and slow to wrath. And then the next verse, James says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If your anger is out of control or constantly out of control, there's no way your life can be pleasing to the Lord. The wrath of man will not produce the righteousness of God. And that's something we all need to take in. Well, I know who needs that message. Yeah, me too. You and me. Think about yourself and not somebody else. Because anger is something that we all have to deal with from time to time. Listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. And I would challenge you, if anger is an issue to you, to go back and do some research and study and understand the nuances of this passage. It's tremendous. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. In other words, it doesn't come natural. You got to work at it. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Let me just give you an interpretation of that. You better be careful if your anger is always out of control. You may be in danger of going to hell. You mean my anger is going to send me to hell? No, not accepting Christ is going to send you to hell. Not send you there, but that's going to be the result of not making a decision for Him. But as a Christian filled with the love of God, if anger is constantly out of control, you have to wonder, am I really a Christian? You say, I can have anger issues and not be saved? Well, you can have anger issues and be saved, but you need to make sure that you are, you see. And I think that might be what James is saying here. Look after each other so none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Anger out of control can cause us to miss out on God's grace in our life. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. If anger goes unchecked, it will produce in you a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness, which will go deep into your soul, will cause you a lot of problems. And the problems that it causes you will go out and other people will be affected by it as well. A few weeks ago, I went to Charlotte where my oldest daughter lives, and she had some pressure washing that needed to be done and some yard work, and so I told her I'd come down and help her some, and it had to be pretty simple for me to be involved in it, so we made our way down there, and I took all of my tools, a shovel, and she had a chainsaw, and so those were the two things that I thought were needed to remove a bush from her backyard. Now, those of you that do that, you realize that that's probably not the best tools to use, but that's all, you know, that's what I'm thinking. And so she had this little bush in her backyard, and it was growing right at her patio, and she said, it's unsightly, and just remove it. So I thought, I'm just going to cut it down as much as I can, then I'm going to take the shovel and get the roots and just take the roots and take it all out of there. That seems so simple. But when I got there and started working, the chainsaw, that above ground went pretty easy. But when I got down to the roots, I needed a Maddox or something else, you know, or a lot more time. I thought, I'll just dig all the way around the roots and I'll just hit them with the sharp edge of that shovel and break the roots. But they were so thick, I couldn't get through them. And so I just left it. I said, it ain't my problem. And so I took off. What's above ground and what people see may not show what is going deep into our heart that has formed bitterness. And so the author of Hebrews said, be careful. Work at living a holy life. Work at living at peace. Because if you let anger go unchecked in your life, it will form a deep root of bitterness that will poison and trouble you and corrupt many. Let me read some verses to you that talk about anger, and you can pick up one of the sheets in the back if you want the verses, or you may have them to follow along. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. You have trouble with patience? I believe my dad was the most patient man I ever met. I can never remember him raising his voice. Did he get frustrated at times? Yeah, he would go to what we called the little bathroom. It was a half bath in the master bedroom, and he would just go in there and close the door if he was, I guess if he was frustrated, and when he come out, he was fine. I don't know what happened while he was in that room, but I know when he went in, he was fine, and when he came out, it was fine. I'm thinking, what a patient individual. You just sort of take things in stride. Better to be patient and under control than have great power and great authority, and better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Ephesians chapter 4. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. So there is a place for righteous indignation, but what Paul says to the church at Ephesus is, don't let your anger get out of control. You need to settle issues. Before I go to bed at night, well, it'd be great, but the idea is shortly take care of that issue. Because if you allow something to fester and grow and grow and grow, it's going to cause a root of bitterness. And what that's going to do, it's going to give Satan a foothold in your life. Well, I don't think that's true. Well, then you've just denied what God said. I'm telling you, it'll happen. It can happen to any of us at any time if we allow that anger to go unchecked and out of control. And James challenges us with that. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Sensible people control their temper. Well, I just can't control my temper. Then you're a fool. I can't believe you said that. I didn't. God did. Okay, if you're sensible, you're going to learn to control your anger, which is not an easy thing to do. But sensible people will do that. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. You see, if we are constantly out of control and yelling and hitting and doing something, we lose respect. People don't respect that. You watch the news sometimes. They don't have these people with different points of view going at each other. And the one that's hollering out of control is the one you're thinking, I ain't even listening to that guy. I'm not listening to that lady. She's out of control. I had a relative that was like that. He was out of control. We would gather at my grandmother's house every Sunday after church, and we would eat together, and the kids and the cousins would all be there, and it was a great time. But my uncle, and he was as nice to me and our family as anybody could ever be, just nice and gentle. But he would go off at his kids every Sunday. I mean, for little things. I mean, nothing things. And he would yell at them and holler at them, and you could just tell they were afraid of him and had no respect for him. And it was so sad to see, because to everybody, it was like the episode of Andy Griffith where that couple was mad at each other and nice to everybody else, and then they were nice to each other and mad at everybody else. That's sort of the way he was. He was nice to everybody and mad to his kids. He was a vice president of a bank, and at age 54, he died of a heart attack. And to this day, I believe that anger and lack of control had something to do with that. It'll trouble you, Hebrews says. You let that root of bitterness grow and it'll make you sick. You say, is everybody that's sick because they're angry? No. But if you let anger go unchecked, it'll cause some physical problems in your life. It'll cause ulcers. It'll cause heart issues. It'll cause blood pressure. It'll be a number of things. Talk to somebody on the medical staff, and how many people are in the hospitals today due to anger? Anger can even bring on depression and all that that causes. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Control your temper. I can't say that word! For anger labels you a fool. There it is. If you don't control your anger, people are going to label you a fool. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. And then one more verse, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers fly. That's a great verse. If you deal with people that are angry, maybe it's somebody at work, maybe it's somebody in your family, maybe it's somebody you're married to. Respond gently. You're going to have to work at that. You're going to have to prepare for that. Because that's not your first reaction to things that upset you. But when you're in a conversation, if you just stay under control, don't get loud, don't get mean, just respond with kind but true words, it'll deflect anger. It'll diffuse a situation that could get very bad. So, how do we deal with anger? We've talked about the problem of anger. We've talked about what causes anger. We looked at some scripture that gives us some principles that we need to be under control, but how do we do it? Well, I don't have all the answers to that. But here are some things that I think the scripture clearly teaches. And the first one that James says in verses 18 and 19, or 19 and 20 rather, listen rather than speak. Listen to what's being said. Don't be so defensive. Now, you may feel differently, and you may even be correct, but listen for that truth that might be spoken in the midst of a lot of things that you don't agree with. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't put you in a place where God is pleased with your life. The second thing I would say, send your kids to the room. Now, if you've got a paper that says that, what do you mean? Well, I don't really mean send the kids to the room, but if you had children, you may have said that to them sometimes when you were angry. Go to your room. We'll talk about it in a minute. Why do you send them to the room? Because you need to cool down. You're going to kill them if they don't go. You need some space. And so go to the room is as much for you as it is for them. And then hopefully when you go and talk to them, you are under control. I was listening to a message this week, and a pastor was talking about anger issues that he dealt with, and I shared a little bit of this yesterday with our men. He said he was in a situation with his child. His wife was in town, and the baby was just crying and crying and crying over an hour, yelling and screaming. He said everything that he did didn't work. Every method he tried, whether it was a pacifier or food or changing the diaper, it continued to just be out of control. He said, I finally picked the baby up and looked at the baby, and I realized what I was thinking was horrible. I laid the baby down, still crying, walked away. When my wife came home, I told her what I did. He didn't do anything bad, but he was thinking bad. He said, I went to anger management classes because, this is the pastor, because I realized I was out of control. And so sending the kids to the room, and like the guy walking outside, sometimes we just need to cool down first. And we just need to walk away. You know, honey, I just can't talk about it right now. Let me just cool down and we'll get back together. Psalm 37, 7 and 8. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your anger. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Sometimes we just got to let it go. You know, I just need to overlook that wrong. I just need to move on. God, you're going to have to take this. You're going to have to deal with it, Lord. I can't fix him. I can't fix her. I can't make them do something. But in my life, I need to quiet myself and I need to hear from heaven. I listened to a pastor that gave this outline, and it was so good. I just wrote down what he said. In dealing with your anger, first of all, let God reveal it to you. Now, this means you got to take some time to get alone and let God reveal it to you. Well, I know what I deal with, and I know where I'm at. You know, we really don't. I mean, we might think we do. Do you remember what Jeremiah said? The heart is deceitfully wicked. What's the rest of the verse? Who can know it? In other words, I don't even know my own heart sometimes. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I acted like that. And so you may just have to get quiet and say, God, would you reveal to me things that maybe I'm covering up and not seeing? Listen to what the psalmist said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that affects you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And you can go back into Hebrews chapter 12 and you'll see these principles brought out. So if you're dealing with anger and sometimes your anger is out of control, you need to get along with the Lord and say, God, would you reveal to me where I'm at in my life with this issue of anger? Is it under control or is it out of control? I know what I think, but I need you to reveal to me my heart, because sometimes I don't even know my own heart. Reveal it to me. So let God reveal it. And secondly, he said, let grace remove it. Grace is not just what we receive at salvation. There is daily grace, and there's some things that God has to remove. There's some things that God has to do in our life. And so let God reveal it and let grace remove it. And I really believe that that's what God did in my life growing up. He began to work on me and remove that anger from my heart and from my life. And do I still deal with it from time to time? Yes, I do. But just like I said today, there are things that God is saying to me, hey, you need to prepare yourself for this. You need to listen more. You need to be under control and speak gently and so forth. So we're all in that learning process. But grace can begin to remove that from your life. It can do things that we can't do. So let God reveal it. Let grace remove it. And thirdly, let good replace it. Hebrews says, look, are you praying for that individual that you wish God would take on to glory? You praying for, are you doing good for them, to them? Maybe they need that. Maybe they got some issues in their life, and all you're doing is you're on the same level. Let God reveal it. Let grace remove it. Let good replace it. We've got to control our anger. It'll turn into a root of bitterness. It'll bring us trouble, and we'll corrupt others. The wrath of man will never produce the righteousness of God. Father, thank you for loving us. And all of us need to take time to get alone before you and allow you to reveal in our heart if there are anger issues and roots of bitterness and malice and clamor and so forth, as Ephesians talk, that are evident in our life. And we might not think it's that big a deal, but others see it. And we lose respect in others' eyes because we can't control that which causes great damage to ourselves and others. We lose respect and we can't be used as effectively as you want us to because people don't see the righteousness of God in us. Out of control anger will never produce that. So may we deal with it in the way that the Holy Spirit leads us, for our good and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. God bless you.